Welcome. We're going to break the rules. We're going to start early. Love it for people to be coming in as we're in worship to our living God. So we're going to sing that He is holy forever. Let's worship together.
Sorry, again.
Thank you.
morning to bring worship, to bring praise, to come with adoration, with thanksgiving, with hearts full of your love, wanting to be refilled to overflowing. Father, we come to worship in Jesus' name. Amen. Do take seats. I need two volunteers who don't mind moving around the room quite quickly, one for each microphone. You won't have to speak into it. You've got a green shirt on, but I can't see your face. Yes. Come on then. Somebody from this side? Okay. You don't know what you're doing, never mind. Yet. I can't remember where, but the other day, I think it might have been an online meditation or something like that, people were asked who first told them about Jesus. And there were various answers, parents, Sunday school teachers, youth leaders, and so on. If you're prepared to briefly, without your life story, just say into the microphone, who told you about Jesus? Please put your hand up and you two will go, and then it's up to Mark to pop your hand up if you're prepared to do that. And if you're in the hall, if someone could gather three or four comments and come through and share with us. Hands up if you'd like to share with us.
How you keep talking.
Yeah, nobody's got their hand up, so come on. He has, yes.
The church teachers.
My mother.
My mum and dad.
Parents.
My father.
Parents.
Alec Hall, Sunday school teacher.
University, which is a way of saying those at university, you really speak to those who didn't know about God before.
As an avid child reader from the Bible.
A friend.
Youth group.
A crazy but very brave young lady on the bus going home from school regularly.
I genuinely don't remember, so I guess my family.
Love it. Anyone coming through from the back hall to share? The microphone's coming to you, so there you go. Any more? So,
Esther here in church.
No. So, thanks. I don't know, it's not meant to be a test, but so what have we had people say? Parents, youth group, Sunday school, university. thrown under the bus. Oh, sorry, on the bus. So, as far as you could tell, hands up for parents, family. Hands up for Sunday school type of experience. Youth type of experience. Further education, university type of situation. You're on your own at the minute. Except I would put my hand up at that point. So, there's so many people being involved. No one has said a stranger. You don't have to explain it, but, well, you're on the bus with her every day. Give him a chocolate button to shut him up. Anybody where you really were, you know, maybe it's the first time you saw that person or whatever. Anybody from standing in the street listening to a preacher speak in the open air? We won't be planning that one then. Okay. A whole range of ways that people have told us about Jesus. Our theme this morning is going to be introduction, new theme about freedom. And we've just got the freedom, haven't we, to have heard and learnt from lots of different people, different ways. Not least the freedom to be able to teach our children and young people about the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you that there are so many ways to have heard about the Lord Jesus. And this morning we want to come to you with grateful hearts to say thank you. And we want to come to you for those who've wanted to share you so much that, Lord, is exactly what they've done. So we thank you for those people we've just mentioned now. In Jesus' name, amen. And we're going to share communion in here and in the hall. And it's not quite the other side of the coin, but Jesus himself sharing with us that he's here, that he's real, that he's alive. And it's until he comes again. In other words, so there's loads of opportunities for us to go and share him with other people. So we're going to pray again and say thank you, Lord Jesus, that you went to the cross, that you gave your life, that we would be forgiven, that we would be brought back to you, we would be bought back through your sacrifice. And as we share bread and wine together now, we thank you that it's at your invitation that you have brought us here. Amen. I've asked four people to come and share out the bread and wine. If you'd like to come up, please. There's a man called Lazarus who was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and his sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, yet when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was two more days. Then he said to his disciples, "Let's go back to Judea." "But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago the Jews tried to stone you, and yet you are going back?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? A man who walks by day will not stumble, for he sees by this world's light. It's when he walks by night that he stumbles, for he has no light." After he had said this, he went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him up." His disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he'll get better." Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I'm glad I was not there, so that you may believe. Let us go to him." And as the story went on and the conversation about resurrection continued, Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" As we share out the wine, which we'll drink together in a little while, you join in with the song, or just let the song help you get closer and closer to him. Jesus died and went to the cross and once for all sacrificed his life that we could have life. Thank you for the cross. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have the victory over sin, death, hell, and are with us forever. Amen. Let's drink together. Lord, as we're gathered together as family, we remember those who are poorly, who are sick, who've had operations, pray particularly for Jill Reeves this week that there'll be no rejection by her body of her transplant. And just pray for her as she seeks you and prays for us. And we pray your blessing on her. And we thank you that for those who are struggling and suffering and feeling life is tough, we pray that they will know your supporting, loving arms around them. And Father, thank you that as we pray as a family, we pray for our world that temporary peace will become permanent peace, and places that are in turmoil, your believers that are there will be able to speak for you, and in the terror of it, lead loads of people to come to know you as Saviour and Lord. Father, thank you that you've blessed us with so many things, and we pray that as your people here, we'll just move forward with you, filled by your Spirit, to share your name and your love. Amen. One of the ways is through small groups, because I know you've been sat here thinking, that's so small, I can't possibly read it from where I'm sitting. That's because it's hoped that you'll come and look at it much more closely after the service and have a real good look. But we've got some slides. Oh, I've got the clicker. That is a dangerous thing to do, to give that to me. Right inside. Hey. You do it. Oh. Ah, hey. Some of you will have seen these loads of times now. Don't go to sleep. There's one or two little differences. And what we've got on that slide are things that go on during the daytime. For those who are no longer work, it's called retired, apparently. But there are various groups that are meeting during the day, which means there are some meeting in the evening. You've got five up there. The focus, if you're newish, is prayer, Bible study, sometimes some sung worship, but building together to really get to know God's voice and listen to it and follow him. The interest groups, we're just highlighting them a little more this time because it's a great way of inviting friends to come and be part of. We won't have a competition as to which one is Catherine, which one is Linda, and which one is Hazel. But I don't know if they're all here. Three out of three. So if you would like to know what the Monday afternoon craft group is about, they will be about. Is that a ukulele? Oh yeah, that's a ukulele. I know it's Monday about 5:30 because Heather says, oh, I must practice. Am I lying? No. And I don't know what current numbers are, but there's often quite a few of you people who are here who are there. It's always a bit of a worry when bugs comes up as an alert on the phone, but so that's a Monday night. Esther is over there, because that's where she usually sits, and you can have a chat about what's involved there. James is, did you make that in Men's Shed?
No, that's the next project.
What are the timings of that, James?
Wednesday afternoons, about lunchtime onwards, Monday evenings, and a Saturday morning.
Saturday morning. Okay, and if you play your cards right, there's occasionally breakfast left over from one of the breakfasts that have gone on. Well, anyway, I think James quite enjoys it from time to time. But that is going. Musical worship is the first Tuesday evening of the month. You don't have to be expert. You might just be looking to see what it's like to worship together. We often have a leadership team meeting on at the same time as that, which is a great relief to have that in the background. Bob, where are you? Oh, he's at the back. Well, if you're at the back with Bob, you can have a look at Bob and see if this group works. Or you can look at Kevin if you're in here and see that it does work. That'll cost you later. That's a Thursday evening. It doesn't say men, is it just men?
It tends to be.
I know it tends to be.
It's not just.
So, any ladies? Well, you could see how we go. Board games is on a Friday evening twice a month. Twice, yeah. If that's Monopoly, I'm not coming. It's not always Monopoly, okay. And how far is it, Helen?
7 miles.
7 miles. Hands up those who are a bit nervous about joining that. No. Is that once a month on a Saturday?
Typically once a month, and it's always been sunny.
It's always been sunny. So there you go. And Eddie and Jean are here somewhere, I think, that they're out the back as well. They sort of coordinate all of the green stuff out here and the flowers and so on. And I'm really pleased when others can be involved. Nick, apparently congratulations are in order. Nick won yesterday, I believe. That's roughly once a month, Steve?
Yeah.
Yeah. So Steve coordinates times and... No? Nick? Oh, so Nick coordinates, Nick wins.
Nick sorts the handicaps.
That's there. And the various ways, we have Church Suite that we keep talking about. If you haven't got Church Suite, there are... Actually, I haven't prepared this bit. Those of you who can help people sign up to Church Suite, like Alistair, please stand up now. Bernice, I think there's one, not the one, Linda. Oh. if you've not signed up to Church Suite, just go along with your phone to them afterwards and they'll get you signed up. And the different sections, things to look at here. For those of you who are not, got easy access to web, there's the booklets there. This is the important bit. You have been rolled over. If you're in interest or afternoons fellowship or PALS, but if you don't want to carry on being in my group, let somebody else know. If you don't want to, for any reason, not able to continue in a group, do let us know, and that can be changed. Have I forgotten anything, Chris? She was talking. Some people are signing up just now. Better now than in about 10 minutes when it's the sermon. But there you go. You'll notice, I think, that we haven't sung much this morning so far. I need at least half a dozen children, young people especially, or it'll have to be older people, to come. And I've got piles here of scriptures. Come out now, quick. And I want you to give these out, grab yourself a load, give them out so that just about everybody, well not just about, so that everybody has got one. All right, off you go and give them out. You take a pile at a time. Some of them are choosing the ones they like the best.
People or pieces of paper.
Oh, yeah, I thought about that one. When we come to worship, we sing songs. No, we don't. We come to worship the living God. These scriptures are all based around Jesus speaking, saying, I am. And of course they will come to you randomly, but praying that as you have one of those in your hand, it will just help you as we sing three songs, is it? Three songs of worship together. Then at the end of that, I'll pray, and after the during the third song, if you're at the back, begin to make your way through the car park, please. Praise is rising. Talk to God, tell him how much you love him, tell him how tough it's feeling today, tell him what you'd love him to do in your life, but come to the living God as we worship in song together.
Thank you.
pray for Sunday Club and X groups as they leave us now. And we can stay standing to pray. Father God, thank you for our children and our young people. Bless them as they go now to do a different program with their leaders. Pray their leaders will just have the right ways to share with them. In Jesus' name, amen. If there are men leaving the room now, I forgot earlier to say it is men's breakfast on Saturday, so sign up please.
In Space to Pray this morning, there was a picture that was shared of the Spirit of God hovering like a big bird over the church here. And for all that were under the shadow, it was like when you're out in the baking sun and you're looking for kind of coolness. So you dive for any shade you can find under a tree or a shelter. And that's the image we had there of the Spirit of God is a big bird hovering over the church. And those who were under the shadow were feeling restoration and peace. And someone else then shared that actually there's an image in the Bible of God as like a mother hen, gathering all her flock underneath her wing and protecting her flock. So I do want to share that this morning with a couple of images. If you feel that you need restoration, then come this morning and feel the presence of God and go under the wing of protection that God offers. I want to share that with you this morning.
We're going to share the scripture together, and then Martin is going to come and speak to us. Galatians chapter 5. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Mark my words, I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is required to obey the whole law. You who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit we eagerly await by faith the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith, expressing itself through love.
Thank you, Mike. Just want to add to what Mike was saying about small groups. A church this size, it's lovely to have so many of us here on a Sunday, and we don't ever want to lose that dynamic. But also, it's really hard to get to know people, particularly if you're new to the church family. We do have a newcomer's lunch every now and then, but small groups are a really, really good way to get to know other people, get bedded into the life of the church, and to learn how to follow Jesus more closely. So I just want to add my voice of encouragement. Come and have a look at the board here. Continue signing up even through the sermon. That doesn't matter. Or come and grab a leaflet and do it during the week. It's a really good thing for us to do, and it's something that we'd strongly encourage everyone to do as well. On February the 11th, 1990, Nelson Mandela was released from prison after 27 years. Into a world that was considerably different to the one that he had left behind. In fact, prison would now be more familiar to him than freedom. But I'm pretty sure he had no intention of going back behind bars. He embraced his freedom. He chose to do something positive with it, going on to become South Africa's first black president, even winning the Nobel Peace Prize along with F.W. de Klerk for the work they did to end apartheid. Hopefully, you'll understand why I'm mentioning him in a few moments. Before Easter, we'll be looking at what the Bible tells us about the truth, using the truly, truly statements of Jesus as an exploration of the first part of this year's motto verse, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free, based on the fact that Jesus said that he was the truth. So when the truth says truly, truly, you know that it truly, truly is the truth. For the next few weeks, we're going to explore the second part of that verse, the second part. What does it actually mean to be free? What does it mean to live in freedom? And what impact does it make on our lives and the lives of others when we are living in freedom? And today, as we introduce the topic, we're going to focus on the first verse of our reading from Galatians 5, which is, it was for freedom that you have been set free. It was for freedom that you have been set free. Sounds a bit obvious, really, doesn't it? Why else would you be set free? But there's a whole load of meaning wrapped up in that phrase. And to really understand it, we need to remember the context of the passage. The context is that Paul was arguing with a group around the Galatian church that said to be a proper Christian, you first needed to become a Jew, to be circumcised. And that only then would people be acceptable to God when they had submitted to the law of Moses. There's a big theological debate going on in the church community. And in Paul's mind, this is like being released from prison after, I don't know, let's say 27 years, and then turning around, going back into the prison, back to your cell, and locking the cell door behind you. Paul's argument is clear that freedom comes by faith in Jesus and what he's done for us on the cross. Oops, that's a bit early, never mind. And you don't need to add to that. You don't need Jesus and circumcision, for example. And the men particularly will be very grateful to hear that, I'm sure. You don't need Jesus and observing the law. You don't need Jesus and the teachings of William F. Hubbard. You don't need Jesus and anything else. Martin Luther summed it up really well when he said that redemption and forgiveness is through faith in Christ based on the scripture alone. In fact, Paul argues later in this chapter that it's actually the law that these people want the church to get back into. It's the law that points out our sinfulness and our guilt. Easy way to test that. When you've been driving your car down the A1 and you see blue flashing lights in your mirror, what do? You slow down. Because they immediately make you feel guilty that you're driving too fast. The other really good one, of course, is when you're zooming up the side of the A1 and you see a police car ahead. Same thing. The law makes you aware of your sin and your guilt. And rather than setting us free, the law binds us up in chains that we can never hope to break. And Paul's saying, why, when Jesus has broken your chains and set you free, like we were just singing, why would you want to put your chains back on and go back into prison? It doesn't make any sense, does it? It's ridiculous. And where we cannot escape, Jesus sets us free by his death and resurrection, as we were thinking just 2 weeks ago at Easter. So the first thing we can say about our freedom is that we have been set free from slavery to sin. We've been set free from slavery to our sinful natures, and we've been set free from the consequences of sin. We don't have to obey our sinful nature anymore, because through his death and resurrection, Jesus has said, that is gone. If you come to faith in Jesus, your slate is wiped clean, your prison door is opened, and you are invited to walk out. You could look a little bit more excited about that. As Paul says in Romans 8, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life has set you free from the law of sin and death. When we receive Christ, we're saying that we recognise we can't save ourselves, that only Jesus can save us. If we then say we have to be circumcised or add something else on, we're saying that we can save ourselves, or that what Jesus has done is not enough. Whereas Paul clearly argues in the scripture that what Jesus has done once and for all is completely sufficient to save anyone who puts their faith in him. And because of Jesus, we're given a new status. And that's just a declaration of who we are now. If you're a Christian, that's your status. Freedom. You don't have to paint your face blue and white and shout they can take away our lives, but they'll never take away our freedom. You don't have to do anything other than put your faith in Jesus. And once you put your faith in Jesus, you are told that you are free. It was for freedom that Jesus came, to destroy the works of the evil one, to break the power of sin and death and hell in our lives, to snap the chains of captivity that we're in. The thing is, we don't know we're captives. We don't know we're slaves to sin. We just think it's a normal way to be. But then Jesus tells us what our actual situation is, and he gives us the solution to breaking out of that situation: faith in his death and resurrection. So if you're a Christian today, you are a free person. Tell your face that. You're a free person. Who the sun sets free is free indeed. My chains are gone. I've been set free. Let's not just sing it. Let's believe it. Let's live it if we're Christian people. John Stott says this. He says, our status of freedom means we have freedom of conscience, freedom from the tyranny of the law, the dreadful struggle to keep the law with a view to winning the favour of God. That's the thing, isn't it? The whole world says you've got to do this, that or the other to get God to like you. You've got to follow the five pillars of Islam. You've got to meditate. You've got to find yourself in a position where nothing else matters in your mind. You've got to obey these laws or that laws. You've got to do so many good works. You've got to go and knock on so many doors and tell people about Jesus and things like that. But what Paul says is, no, you don't. Deep sigh of relief. We do not have to do anything to get God to love us. Stop trying to get God to love you, because God loves you already. God loves you already. Just as you are, wherever you are in your life, whatever's going on, God loves you. And nothing can stop God loving you. Something can stop you receiving God's love. And the thing that stops us receiving God's love is refusing to believe the truth about Jesus that we spent the first 3 months of this year looking at. God already loves you. God sent Jesus to show you that he loves you. And all that you and I need to do is say yes and thank you to Jesus and put our hope and our trust in his death and his resurrection, and live our lives for him after that, through the power of the Holy Spirit, who Jesus sends to be his presence with us until he returns in glory. There's such a burden that we place on ourselves, on our children, by saying, you've got to do this to get God to love you. Slight snapshot. I remember when I was a child, a long time ago now, I know, and
very much brought up with, if you came third in your exams at the end of the year, why didn't you come second or first? And it was that kind of, well, we'll love you more if you come top of the class. But, you know, there was that kind of, that was the impression I was getting as a child, that the love that my parents had for me, and I'm sure this wasn't the case, and they can't defend themselves now because they're no longer with us. But growing up, that was the impression I had, that I had to do certain things to earn love. And it's built into society. It's built into the whole thing about relationship with God. Everybody thinks they have to do certain things to earn God's love, but God's love is already there. And of course, as a parent, you do know that your children don't have to do anything to get you to love them, because you just love them. Even then, when they're really awful. Even when they're throwing the biggest strop in the middle of the supermarket. Even when they're stamping their feet and say, I don't want to go to bed. God loves us with that overarching love that nothing can change. So really, there's two things I want you to get out of this so far. One is that God loves you, full stop. You don't have to earn his love, but you are invited to respond to his love by putting your faith in Jesus, his son. Hope that's clear. Now back to Mandela for a moment. After his release, he could have gone off somewhere quiet into retirement and spent his days doing whatever he wanted. Maybe pottering around the garden, maybe writing his memoirs, but keeping out of the public eye. But he didn't. In his freedom, he made a massive difference to the lives of his people. In his freedom, he even chose to work with those who had once been his enemies in the Truth and Reconciliation program to bring his country together. His freedom made a difference to him and to others. What about our freedom? What do we do with our freedom? Because it seems to me that the Bible teaches that freedom leads to this new status of being set free from the curse of the law, so that we can do something, so that we can live under the grace of God, and crucially, to show the difference that makes in our lives. People need to see the freedom that we have so that they can want it for themselves. And the freedom that comes from knowing the truth is another one of those things that God gives us so we can share it, so we can give it away to others and not keep it to ourselves. Put simply, freedom looks a bit like this. Looks like someone who lives in a way that shows they trust, love, and follow God through Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit. It looks like someone who follows the example of Jesus by loving and serving others. And it looks like someone who knows their conscience is clear because they have been forgiven and chosen to live in line with God's word. Now, I don't know if Nelson Mandela was a Christian, but I found this great quote when I was reading up for this. And again, it's a quote from Mandela. And he says this: to be free is not merely to cast off one's chains, but to live in a way that respects and enhances the freedom of others. What a great quote. Because it's very easy to go around going, I'm free, I'm free, I'm free, I'm free. And feel quite smug about it in ourselves and feel quite happy about it in ourselves. But that's just doing the first part of that quote, isn't it? To be free is not just to cast off our chains, but to live in a way that respects and enhances the freedom of others. How can we enhance the freedom of others? How can we introduce this freedom that we have in Jesus into the lives of other people? That's the challenge. In the words of possibly the greatest hymn ever written, and can it be, my chains fell off, my heart was free. That's the first bit. Yay! My chains fell off, my heart was free. Your faces still don't look like you believe it. Tough crowd this morning. My chains fell off. My heart was free. That's the first bit. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. That's the second bit. And a bit like the horse and the carriage and love and marriage, you can't have one without the other. My chains fell off, my heart was free, I rose, went forth, and followed thee. Oh, thank you. I think it's fair to say that we're pretty happy about celebrating that first bit. A lot of the songs that we sing celebrate the fact that Jesus has set us free. And it's what we do here every Sunday morning at the very least. But what about that second bit? What does it mean for you? What does it mean for me if our chains have fallen off, if our hearts are free? What does it look like for us to rise, go forth, and follow Jesus in our daily lives? Because that's where the rubber hits the road. How are we living in a way that displays the freedom we have in Christ? What difference do the people who know us well see in our lives? Do they see any difference at all? Or are we still trapped in the chains of trying to achieve popularity, prosperity, influence, power, wealth and possessions, for example? Are we just like them apart from the fact we come to church every week or when we feel like it? Or does our freedom show in the way we approach things and other people, situations and difficulties? Does our freedom shape our priorities so that our relationship with God comes first and everything else flows out of that? Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And all these things, all the things that we worry about, all the things that we want, will be added to us as well. Problem is, our world says, seek the things you want first and ignore God's kingdom and God's righteousness. But Jesus says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness and all these things will be added to you. Freedom doesn't mean freedom to do what we like. It doesn't give us a carte blanche to behave however we want to. Freedom gives us the freedom and the right to live how we were made to live, as children of God, as brothers and sisters in Christ, living a life that is laid out for us in the Bible. Because ultimately we're saved and we're set free for a purpose. I've said this a few times over the years, but if we weren't saved and set free for a purpose, we'd simply go straight to heaven when we say yes to Jesus. That would be quite interesting actually to see that, wouldn't it? If walk along the road, you're talking about someone to Jesus, and they say yes to Jesus, and boom! The purpose is, it was for freedom that we're set free. To live freely as God designed us to live. Now, too many Christians seem content to live quietly without making a difference. Doing the equivalent of Nelson Mandela going off and pottering around his garden once he was free. Some Christians I've known even seem happy to go back to the prison that Jesus has set them free from because that's what they're used to. What do I mean by that? Habits, behaviours, thought processes, whatever. Maybe sometimes it's because they don't truly realise they've been set free. I don't know. And throughout history, many have given their lives chasing freedom from oppression, from injustice, poverty and slavery, along with other kinds of evil. Jesus is the only one who has given his life in a way that makes any lasting, eternal difference to you and to me and to everybody else who lives in this world. Again, who the Son sets free is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. If you've put your faith in Jesus, the Son of God, you have been set free. I know I've said it before, but sometimes things need to be repeated. You've been set free. And you've been set free at a price that only Jesus could pay. So this morning, as we start this series on what freedom means, we'll be looking at certain areas in a bit more detail. There's the next 4 weeks, I think, are laid out in the newsletter for you, so you can see where we're going with this. And we're going to look at what that freedom means for us right here and right now. And that will challenge us. It will make us think about how we live our lives. I want to be upfront with you about that. If you want to come to church just to get a cosy pat on the head, then go somewhere else for the next few weeks. If you want to think through what it means to be free in Jesus and to live the life that God created for you to live in the power of the Holy Spirit in accordance with the Word of God, then book your seat now and make sure you're here on time. Make sure you're ready to hear what God has to say. And why would you want to do anything else anyway? Because we have the freedom to get really close to God through his word and through his spirit. I'd like to end this morning with another quote from Mandela. And this applies on so many levels. Real leaders must be ready to sacrifice all for the freedom of their people. Real leaders must be ready to sacrifice all for the freedom of their people. I think Jesus did that. Jesus laid it all down so that we could pick it up and become leaders in his name, in our homes, in our places of work, in our community, wherever we find ourselves, so that the words that we sing here on a Sunday morning, we could actually demonstrate in reality. Jesus sets us free to live in freedom. That may be this morning that you don't feel free. There's that burden on your shoulders. It might be the burden of trying to please other people. It might be that burden of expectations. It might be that burden of, oh, if I don't do this, God won't love me. We've seen this morning that that's not the right attitude. That's a lie. But if you feel burdened this morning, God wants you to be free from that kind of burden. And so the prayer team will be down here at the front afterwards. And please do come and get prayer. If you feel burdened in a way that's dragging you down, that's causing you grief, it's causing you trouble, if you want to be free from whatever it is that you want to be free from, absolutely first and foremost, if you want to be free from your sin today, just say yes to Jesus and then come and tell somebody you've said yes to Jesus and we'll help you walk into that freedom. Because ultimately, he might open the prison door for us, but he's not going to force us to walk out. He opens the door, but we have to choose to walk out, just like Mandela did all those years ago. If you just want a bit more of God in your life, come and get prayer. I want us to get away from this idea that there must be something wrong with the people who come down to get prayer, and or people think there's something wrong with me if I come to get prayer. That's not it at all. The invitation is to come and receive more of God's love, more of God's spirit, more of God's freedom, so that we can live in freedom. We can not just shout it from the rooftops, but we can demonstrate it in the way we live and the way we react to other people. And maybe we might even find the freedom to do what that very brave young lady did for me on that bus on the way home from school. Talk to me about Jesus. We used to think she was a bit of a nutter. Because there we were year 10, year 11, sixth form even. So typical cocky young lads. And she must have been early 20s. But she would come on and she would tell us about Jesus. She would get laughed at. She would get rude comments made. But she was secure in her freedom. And she shared it with us. And I, for one, am glad she shared it with us. All I know is that her name was Helen. And I've not seen her for far too many years. Don't know where she is. Don't know what she's doing. But she made that difference to me because she was secure in the freedom she had in Christ. What difference can we make when we live out of that security as well? We're going to find out over the next few weeks. But today, let's cast off those burdens. Let's recognise that Jesus has broken the chains already. And let's commit to rising, going forth and following him. And it just so happens that's our last hymn today as well. So while Helen's coming over, I'll just pray. Jesus, we thank you that you have purchased our freedom through your death and your resurrection. And we thank you for your call to follow you. Lord, this morning, if we don't realise we're free, would you please just burn that into our hearts, our minds and our souls? And would it make a difference being here this morning? Because we go out lighter, because we go out knowing that we are indeed free from sin and death and hell and the pressures that society puts on us, because we are loved by you and we are freed by you and freed to share you with other people. As you say in your word, freely you have received, freely give. Lord, would you fill us with a sense of wonder at your love and your power? And would you help us to take our worship out from this place into our lives at home and at work and wherever we find ourselves, knowing that it is for freedom that we have been set free. May we walk in it, may we celebrate it, and may we share it with others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Saviour's blood? And of course, it's that wonderful bit, my chains fell.
Thank you.
That is the truth about who you are in Christ. No condemnation. Free to approach the throne of God. And free to live for him in the power of his Spirit, in the light of what he has done for us. So as people who are loved with an everlasting love, with people who are free, may we go into the world and may we demonstrate that love and that freedom to all who we encounter. And as we do, may we be a blessing to them, because Jesus is a blessing to us. And all the people said, Amen. Amen. Come, get prayer. Turn to someone next to you, get prayer. Just get prayer, and let's get closer to God and enjoy our freedom.